Can God save people any way he wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. Journal titled, What God Cannot Do. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. Journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Fraser details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. Journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Sometimes terrible events do have, in the end, good results. And I think largely because of the media exposure of Kermit Gosnell and the horrors that he committed in Philadelphia as an abortionist, the U.S. House yesterday passed a bill called the Pain Unborn Child Protection Act. How big a step forward potentially is it in the protection of the unborn? Joining us to answer that question, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I guess that's my question for you. How big a step, potentially, I mean, it's just the House, it's not the Senate yet, and who knows the president, how big a step forward could this be in the protection of the unborn?
I think it could be huge. The Supreme Court has allowed states to pass some laws protecting unborn children back in the early 2000s or about mid-2000s, I mean almost 10 years ago. The Supreme Court upheld a ban on partial birth abortion, which is what was a particular technique used in killing unborn children. And we are looking at this. I mean, it's going to be very unlikely that the Senate will pass this or even vote on it, but we're going to, you know, do what we can to get a vote there. And then, of course, President Obama has said that he would veto the bill even if it did pass the Senate. So we know that it's an uphill battle, but we believe that the Supreme Court would allow this to stand, which would be a huge chip out of Roe v. Wade and the current law of the land that says unborn babies can be killed at any time during, you know, the 9 months of pregnancy.
You just mentioned its prospects in the Senate. Why is it the prospects for this bill are so dim there?
Because there's a pro-abortion majority. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, I don't believe, is going to let this come to the floor for a vote. Yesterday, the House of Representatives went on record saying that once an unborn child can feel pain, which is about 20 weeks into the gestational period, abortion would not be allowed. But that there were 196 members in the House of Representatives that said, we don't have a problem with killing babies in the last, you know, 3-4 months of the pregnancy. They were not willing to stop abortion even in the later stages. And I think that's something that Harry Reid is not going to allow his senators to, he's not going to force them to make that choice, you know, that decision as to, he doesn't want any of his senators on record saying that they think, okay, abortion is okay in the 7th and 8th month of pregnancy.
Does that mean that the news of this bill passing in the House is, well, it's nice to know that there is support in the House for something like this. This is about all the farther this issue is going to go.
I think right now, probably for this year, that's as far as it's going to go. But it is also a huge educational issue because a lot of people in this country do not know how widely practiced abortion is. There are a lot of people that still think abortion is only legal for the first 3 months of pregnancy, or that abortion is only legal in some cases, in some circumstances. Abortion is legal in almost every state for all 9 months of pregnancy. And if we can do something like this bill to get people thinking about an unborn child who can feel pain but who can be killed at any time, that does a lot to get people to kind of wake up for, you know, to see what's really happening in America.
Now, and you said this year, we do have an opportunity, in the case of the Senate, much more slowly, because only 1/3 of the Senate stands for re-election in any given election cycle. But
right.
Is the key here to pass bills like this, obviously not only to find a different occupant for the White House, because a president could kill something like this with, well, not a stroke of a pen, without a stroke of a pen, but also to work on the Senate and say, look, what we need is to work toward a day when we do not have a pro-choice majority there?
Absolutely. One-third of the Senate will be up for election next year. I would love to see every Senate candidate, wherever he or she was campaigning, asked if they think it's okay to kill unborn children who can feel pain. I think that would be a great question for any candidate, whether it is a town hall meeting, any campaign stop, an interview by any reporter. I would love to see this become such an issue that every Senate candidate next year has to answer whether or not they think unborn children should be protected, or if they're okay with babies being killed even when they can feel the abortion process, where, you know, maybe their arms and legs are being torn off, the head is being crushed, or like in the case of Gosnell, after the babies were delivered, then being killed. I think every Senate candidate should have to address this issue, and I would love to see that. And if we can keep promoting this type of legislation and this issue, that maybe that will actually happen.
What if the bill were someday to find its way back through the legislative process and to a pro-life president's desk? What would the bill prevent then, specifically?
The bill would say that once an unborn child can feel pain, the abortion would not be allowed. There is a substantial body of medical evidence that says pain can be felt by that unborn child by at least 20 weeks gestation. Now, for a woman saying, well, I'm, 20 weeks pregnant, she's probably more like 18 weeks. So there's kind of a two-week period in there. But, 20 weeks gestation, which, about halfway through the pregnancy. So those babies would be protected. And this has kind of been drafted in a way to talk about babies who can feel pain, because we believe there are at least 5 members on the Supreme Court who will be open to that argument, that position. This isn't just that we want to stop late-term abortions, because we want to stop abortions for all 9 months. But if we can start, chipping away partial birth abortion and banning that particular technique, getting the Supreme Court to say, yes, there are some circumstances or some procedures that we are not going to allow, was a big step forward. We think this is another way to get the court to start reevaluating Roe v. Wade. Because if the court will start saying, okay, this one is okay, and this bill is okay, this law, this legislation is okay, they just start slowly taking chunks out of Roe v. Wade, it's going to fall. I don't think a direct head-on assault is going to necessarily be effective. The Supreme Court is reluctant to overturn previous court decisions, but if they can take little pieces out here and there, Roe will eventually fall, and we think this could be a big piece, but one of those little pieces.
So are you saying, in essence, that the strategy for the time being ought to be to go not after abortion per se? Obviously, that is, as you've just said, the ultimate goal, but to go against abortion in the latter part of gestation, where public opinion is both murky, they don't know that abortions are performed during that time, and where, when properly informed, public opinion is often against such abortion.
Well, we did a poll in March, and 64%, about almost two-thirds of the people, said that they would support a law that would ban abortion once the unborn child can feel pain. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of people that yet know abortion is even... Well, I shouldn't say we don't have a lot of people, but there are people who still don't know that abortion is even allowed at that time. So, it's an educational effort, and... we think it's one chink in the armor of Roe v. Wade that we could pull down. Like I said, the Supreme Court doesn't like to overturn previous court decisions. They don't want to say that their predecessors were wrong. So it's going to be hard for them to say, yeah, we don't like Roe v. Wade, we're just going to wipe it out. I don't see that as very likely to happen, at least anytime in the near future. But if you can get them to start saying, you know, certain laws are okay, certain restrictions on abortion are okay, protecting unborn children in this circumstance is okay, then pretty soon you look at it all together and Roe is gone. You know, so we are looking at it more at this time in a piece-by-piece tearing apart.
Finally, with only about a minute, obviously the advocates of abortion on demand oppose anything like this, but this is to them one of their worst nightmares, a bill like this that would protect on the basis of fetal pain. Why would Planned Parenthood and other organizations like that oppose such a bill?
The strong supporters of abortion, and that includes President Obama, do not think there should be any limits on abortion. This should be a decision made totally by the woman involved for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason that she wants an abortion. They are afraid that once you start to pass some limits on abortion, it will be easier to pass others. So they have drawn a hard line in the sand that there should be no limits on abortion, period. And that's why they would oppose something like this that would, you know, save babies, at least in the later stages of the pregnancy.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to National Right to Life under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Carol, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 19th, we're going to turn to a subject that seems rather elementary, but I think the question and its answer proves more profound, especially if we look at it in light of what Scripture has to say about the place of song in the life of the Christian, not just the individual life of the Christian, but in the worship life of the Christian. Often the debates about how Christians worship center around why they sing and what they sing. Let's take up those questions right after this for the last half hour of Issues Etc.
You can call it what you like. I call it life. I call it life. I prayed for things.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Can God save people any way he wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, What God Cannot Do. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Fraser details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. journal.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Infanticide videos.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Live Action recently released two shocking undercover videos. In the first, an abortion clinic worker in the Bronx tells a patient interested in a 3-day procedure that if the baby is born alive, to put it in a jar of liquid. That will stop the breathing, she said. The second video is of a late-term abortionist in Washington, D.C., who tells a person pretending to be a patient that if a baby was born alive, quote, we would not help it, end quote. It appears infanticide is more widespread amongst abortion providers than we fear. Kermit Gosnell is not alone.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.